joining us live now, a friend who is also working on bringing our nation back to God, the Kilted Christian, Duncan McGregor. I know I didn't do that justice, Duncan, but thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, that wasn't bad at all. That was actually as good as Scott.
Oh, really? How do you say it, Norm? How would you say it?
Duncan McGregor.
McGregor. Okay. I'm a little off, but I'm going to work on that for next time.
Yeah. Scottish ends on a down note, Irish ends on a high note.
Oh, didn't know that. Well, Duncan, you said that we could talk about anything. So let's get into this and dive deep. And I'd love to talk about end times Bible prophecy. What are some of the signs that you've uncovered?
Well, I've been watching. I'm an avid weather person. Any surfer, anybody that grew up surfing knows weather. So I keep track of literally everything from hurricanes to regular weather, snowfall, on down to earthquakes. And I have radars that send all the information to me. So I've been noticing an uptick in just crazy weather. We've noticed that around the United States, as well as earthquakes. So I started digging a little bit more into scripture. We did a show the other day that was on the Mount of Olives that kind of went over some of the things that we were going to be looking for. So I started kind of moving away from my political digs and into scriptural digs. And one thing that really stood out to me recently, starting off, is the Euphrates River is drying up. And I thought that was extremely strange because, you know, according to scripture, there are four angels of the fallen that are supposed to be bound underneath that water. So in Revelation 16:12, it says, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from far or from the east. So this right here is actually scriptural, is that river drying up. So I went digging a little bit further, and I started seeing a lot of videos and a lot of pictures of water. Like almost the size of a large, large river, lake, or small ocean in the middle of the Saudi desert. And in scripture, in Isaiah 41:18, it says, I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. And these videos literally show water just pummeling out of the ground, almost like it's from a broken water pipe or something, just streaming out of the water, creating large amounts of water in the middle of the Saudi desert. And these things, unlike the weather, which I'm starting, you know, we know about HAARP and the weather manipulation and the chemtrails and so forth. And we're watching this expand across our world right now in large amounts, more than normal. But these things right here just can't be explained. A river drying up in Euphrates and then water appearing in the center of the Saudi desert, which is pretty hard to deny.
And like no mainstream media is talking about it, right?
Zero, no mainstream media. And you figure something on this scale would be something they would go straight to. But it's biblical. And the last thing they want people doing right now is looking into the Bible and looking into scripture and seeing what they call the signs and wonders of the Bible of the coming end days. And we don't know when the end days are. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. Even Jesus doesn't know. You know, so this is the time to be prepared when you start looking at these signs and wonders.
Yeah, absolutely. And how prepared do you think the nation and the world is for the end times?
Sadly, not much. And there's a lot of independent journalists are the only ones that are covering this, that are kind of going over what we're looking at, what's happening in the world, the indoctrination of our children. I mean, all of these things, you know, the signs of people coming to a time where they love money, where they love themselves, where they act upon selfish deeds instead of helping other people. We're seeing this happen more and more. And not many people are aware of this. Now, I am watching more and more people come back to God, reaching out in prayer. So that's a really good sign. But I'm afraid that we're going to need something biblical, quote biblical, that's going to come around, that's going to wake a lot of people up.
Well, just for the sake of expressing to people who are watching who have no idea what HAARP is, because I actually this past weekend over Easter have run into some family members who didn't know what that is. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so HAARP is a military project basically that they moderate weather supposedly, but they actually are manipulating weather. And there's multiple HAARP locations. I believe one of them's in Alaska. They're all around the world, and they're basically manipulating ions using magnetic fields and stuff like that, either from spacecraft or something, or satellites up in space. But it's literally manipulating the weather. And there's been rumors about this all the way as far back as Vietnam with hurricanes and so forth. But as an avid hurricane watcher, I can tell you that the last 4 years have been strange. And it's very, the way that the hurricanes especially are acting is they're going in loops. They're hanging out longer than they're supposed to. They're becoming stronger, forming in places that they don't normally form. And it's really sticking out. And it's definitely a sign to me because, like I said, as someone who's always watched the weather, I know when things are different. And like I said, a lot of people still want to argue about HAARP, but we're looking at chemtrails in the sky. We grew up outside. You know, we come from the generation where we were drinking out of garden hoses, playing capture the flag. You know, we were always outside, so we know what our clouds look like. And what we're seeing today with these stripes to the air, some days are worse than normal. What they're doing is they're either blocking, trying to block out the sun a little bit, or spreading chemicals, metals, and stuff into our ground, which brings me into the next aspect of this, which was famine, which is mentioned multiple times in Scripture. I'm just going to go to Luke 21:11. There will be great earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from the heavens. And right now in our country, other than the chemtrails that we're seeing, other than the major floods took place over in California, the major snowfall that took place in different parts of the country, we're also watching them burn down many of our food processing facilities. Just recently, just over 24 hours ago in Texas, as you know, we had a dairy plant burned down. 20,000 cows died in this. And this is probably one of maybe 40 since the year began of food processing plants that are burning down all over our country. And they're not little fires. It's not like a little fire that they contain and put out. These things spread really quick. And they literally burn down entire facilities. Right now, we've got one in Indiana. We've got one in New Jersey. We had the one in Texas. And that's just this week. You know, so that leads into the famine.
It's unbelievable. Speaking of famine, how can people get prepared? Because as you said, sadly, many of us are not. What would you recommend that people do to get prepared for the coming times? No matter what you believe, if Jesus is coming back next week, next year, next 10 years, next 100 years, or whatever it is, there's no question that something is going on. How would you advise people to get prepared and stocked up?
Right now, what I've been doing literally probably for the last year, but especially the last 6 months, is I'm encouraging people to stock up on food. Go ahead, you know, it doesn't have to be good food. Like I said, food's food at this point. You don't need a filet mignon. Get loads of rice, get loads of bean. It's very inexpensive. Ramen noodles. I've been purchasing a lot of this stuff. I've got some of the emergency food kits aside. I've got lots of water. I've got some tubs, the plastic tubs that I have to put out my backyard so that I can actually have water for my garden and bathing that doesn't interfere with my drinking water. You know, I suggest getting things that are tradable because at the very least, you know, even if you're not a Christian, at the very least, we're looking at an economy restructure, and it's coming where our economy is going to be going down most definitely within the next 3 months. You know, so at this point, you want things that are valuable, that are tradable. Seeds for planting are tradable. Tobacco, alcohol. There's just certain things that, like I said, are going to be ultimately good for trading. I always say get a little bit of gold and silver on hand. Pull maybe $1,000 if you have it in the bank out so that you have something to spend in the meantime once those banks go down. But this is one of those cases where I would have rather apologized later for being wrong than not preparing you and no one being ready. This is one of those really weird situations. I'm trying to prepare as much as I can to help my neighbors out, even building a community garden as well as the garden that I have in my own house. But at the very least, you know, a lot of our foods in our stores are poisoned, you know, so we need to become more self-reliant anyways, because right now taking the power and the control away from the government is the strongest thing that we have. We need to be self-reliant, not reliant on big government.
Yeah. Our ancestors, when they came over from Europe, actually sowed seeds. The women sowed seeds in the hems of their dresses, and people don't realize how important that is, and getting the right seeds too. So how would you advise people to, you know, one of the goals that I know you have is getting people to turn back to God, getting this nation to resume to a faith-based nation as it once was, as our founding fathers wanted. How can you recommend that people do that?
What I've been doing is, you know, because I'm pretty new in the Christianity in general. I've always been real spiritual. I've always believed in God and Jesus, but I've become a Christian within the last 3 years. So what I've been doing is I've been digging into scripture, because the last thing you want to do when you go up to talk to someone about Jesus is be a little bit ignorant. So you want to know enough to at least explain the importance of the relationship. So I went from doing a show 3 days a week about politics to now doing a show 7 days a week involving scripture of some sort, the importance of the relationship with God and Jesus, and then a show on Saturday and Sunday called Brothers in a Bible, where we go over certain scripture. But I've gone beyond that now, and I've utilized my time now to where I just talk to random people in the store, and I'm not pushy about it, because the last thing you want to do is be pushy because the conversation stops. So I just mention it. I'll ask people. I'll listen. If I hear them having a bad day, I'll be like, hey, can I pray for you? I wear T-shirts around, my kilted Christian T-shirts, and on the back of some of them I have, can I pray for you, just to create the conversation, because at this point, you shouldn't be embarrassed or ashamed. And the worst thing that could happen is someone's not going to listen, but you still planted seeds. And we know that God's name's not in vain. And even the other day, somebody was telling me a story where they were talking to someone that they thought God sent them to, but there was someone cleaning the floor behind the desk who heard what he had to say, and he went home, looked into scripture, brought his family to church. So God knows what he's doing, and it's as simple as a simple conversation with someone, just mentioning God and Jesus and planting those little seeds.
You know, you go by the name of Kilted Christian, so a quick yes or no answer. Are you wearing a kilt?
I am wearing a kilt. I've got more kilts. I've got two pairs of breeches. And I've got 17 kilts.
That's so,
yeah, I usually wear my Utila kilts because I do a lot of work and they hold up the dirt a little bit better. But then I have my family tartans. And then my favorite tartan, which I got to get married in, is the clergy tartan. It's the oldest tartan ever made that the priest used to wear in Old Scotland.
That's awesome. Well, Duncan, thank you so much for spending time with us today and educating and enlightening everyone. I look forward to hearing your podcast, The Kilted Christian, on Podbean. And I know I'm going to be talking to you very soon. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless.